are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
He's behind it. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
What is up, everybody? I'm joined by special guest Andrew Ellis with the Happy Dad hat on, repping Natty State Sports. I got the privilege of hanging out with Andrew during the Arlington series, the College Baseball Showdown or whatever they're calling it. Got to see some pretty good Arkansas games. But Andrew, how's it going?
It's going good, man. We're just finishing up our tour de Central Arkansas here with Natty State Sports, getting ready to go do a live show over at Town Pump in Little Rock. Had a good time watching the Diamond Hogs. They played it against UAPB last night in Little Rock, as you know. Dickie Stevens, like a cool little thing for about, you know, only a select few people that really like it. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a thing they do every year. And it was a really good crowd last night. So, I'm you know, we had a good time here.
Yeah, what did we win? 11-1? Is that right?
11-1, yeah. It was a run rule. That's took a little bit, like, took a moment to wake up. It was a little tense there for a second. But overall, business, take care of business. Got to see some guys break out Vahiva Aloy, did Vahiva Aloy stuff. It was a good night at the yard.
I've been telling everybody I know to just remember the name Vahiva Aloy, because you're going to hear it a lot. And then he kind of made me look like an idiot the first half of the season, but I feel like he's really gotten it going.
Yeah, man, dude, so Caleb Callie did the same exact thing where I remember saying, like, 2 weeks before the season, I sent out a tweet about Caleb Callie being like, I think he's the best kept secret in college baseball. And then that same Arlington trip, he goes like 0-for-9 with 7 strikeouts, and everybody's tweeting at me, this is the guy you thought was awesome or whatever. And I was like, hey, just wait. It took a while for people to realize that we were right on that one. Vahiva Aloy, same thing. It was like, not much you can say when the dude is 3-for-19 or whatever he started off or whatever, but we knew it was in there. We knew it was just a matter of time. And, you know, now here we are, and he's doing Vahiva Aloy stuff, creating a ton of buzz. He's gonna make a lot of money next summer.
What do you think about the lineup changing so much? Do you think that's just a unique situation because DVH knows that he's got a lot of talent and it's hard to place all these guys on the field where they can fit into the lineup? I know on your show, which shout out Bombastic Podcast, if you aren't listening to that, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Andrew does a great job. But you were talking about Peyton Holt. Peyton Holt was kind of the odd man out. He needed to be in that lineup. So between Nolan Souza, Jason Jones, Peyton Holt, you know, give me your rundown on what you think this lineup is at the end of the season.
So, you know, the real issue with it, and I don't know if you can call it an issue, because I don't think any of these players I'm about to list, none of these guys are guys you're worried about putting in your everyday lineup. I mean, they've been in the SEC for a while. I mean, you're talking about guys like Ross Lovich, Ty Wilmsmeyer, Peyton Holt, who have played in the SEC, been in these lineups. Even Jason Jones, a really highly touted kid. You can just go on down the line. The problem is Arkansas has about 13 position players, all of which who are in the same kind of vicinity in terms of how good they are. And so there's a lot of, you know, battles taking place that have really never really been figured out. And so it's how do you go 2 weeks without playing Peyton Holt, who you've seen what he can do. You've seen how he can spark a lineup. But how do you go 2 weeks without playing Ross Lovich, who's started 3 years in the SEC? Will Edmondson, who's, since he's gotten to Arkansas, done nothing but hit and been as productive as anyone here. How do you not play Jason Jones with how talented he is? These are the kind of things that DVH and Nate Thompson have to think about all the time, and a lot of mouths to feed, so to speak. And so I think they've been really just waiting for someone to take one of those spots and run with it. I think Nolan Souza did that with the DH spot. After a while, they finally just decided, hey, this kid's too talented. Let's just roll with him. So you got that clarity there at DH. I feel like catcher Hudson White is kind of the guy by the default there. That position's kind of solid there. Jared Spraglot's done a really good job at third base. If he could just get healthy, he's been giving them some nice consistency. And it seems like Peyton Holt now has become undeniable. And so he seems like a pretty safe bet to take one of those spots, whether it's left field, center field. Maybe he's getting some spot starts at third like he did the other day. But I think Peyton Holt at this point has decided he's an everyday guy. And so you're getting a little bit more clarity. It just took a little bit longer than we thought it would.
As far as that pitching rotation, I don't think there's any other team as deep as ours in the country, which always feels good. You know, if we can get to Omaha, pitching seems to take over. And you kind of alluded to that the other day on your show. I think it was LSU's bats. You know, they were impressive, but not like over the top. So how much do you attribute to our struggles at the plate, so to speak, as far as, you know, we'll see it this weekend playing Florida, South Carolina. We kind of cooled off a little bit with Ethan Petrie and those guys. But are you worried at all about this lineup and their manufacturing runs?
I mean, got to be a little bit. When you have the number one pitching staff in the country, there's only one way it could go wrong. And I think it's kind of the elephant in the room of, like, the only way this team doesn't make a deep run and push for a national title is if this offense just doesn't come alive at all. We've seen it in spurts here, and we know a lot of the names. I mean, we talk about Vahiva Lloyd, Peyton Stovall. No, you can go on down the line. There's plenty of talent there where you see the vision of how this could be a productive lineup. But I don't think there's any question that we're not seeing the best version of it. Is it a huge deal right now? No. I mean, you haven't faced teams that have really been able to make you pay for that. You know, and Arkansas's won plenty of games, and it's still early in the season. There's plenty of room for the bats to heat up down the stretch, but I definitely think right now Arkansas's not in a situation where they can just win a slugfest weekend to weekend. You know, they can get into those type of 12 to 10 battles. But the good thing is, like you mentioned, I referenced on the show, when you get to Omaha, it's very rare that you see those 11 to 9 games, those 13 to 10 games. It's a lot of 5 to 3, a lot of 4 to 2, a lot of 6-4. Like, I think Arkansas is equipped. You know, they have some power threat. They take a lot of walks. They have some, you know, 1 through 9. They have some consistency in terms of just guys. A lot of B pluses is what they have, honestly. But I think they have the pieces to win those types of games, especially with the pitching staff. So I think, am I concerned about the offense? Not really, because I don't think the cliff they're going to have to jump off of is that high. You know, I think they're just going to have to score 5-6 runs a game consistently, and that'll be enough to win with this pitching staff.
Mr. Bitter is what I feel like I am when I think about NC State. I think that year we were batting under 1,000 OPS as a team, which I think right now we're around 850 as a team. It does concern me a little bit, but at the end of the day, I feel like we have not reached that peak. And if you were to take a smaller sample size over maybe the last 3 weeks, I feel like we're hitting a lot better than we did early on in the season, which some of that could be attributed to just getting a slow start. It was still cold up in Fayetteville. I know, like, Hagan Smith's first outing, it was, what, 32 degrees. He was complaining that he couldn't feel the ball in his hand. So I don't know. You could attribute it to a lot. We'll see. As far as the Florida Gators series, what do you want to see this weekend, assuming that we get Brandon Neely versus Hagan Smith, and then probably some trade-off of, like, Liam Peterson and Pierce Capala for Florida in game two against Mason Molina, and then round it out with Brady Tigert versus Jack Kags, who's also playing first base. But
good, I've heard.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I think he can hit the baseball about 1,000 feet. It does worry me facing a high-powered offense like Florida. But, again, we've got the number one pitching staff in the country, so we're going to see. We'll see how they hold up. But what are your thoughts on this series?
Yeah, it seems like Florida's a team that's kind of frustrated with their offense as well. Now, Florida hits for a lot more power than Arkansas does. It consistently, the numbers are what they are. One of the better power-hitting teams in the country. And so even though they've been a little bit inconsistent, that's sort of the vision of what Arkansas wants to do is, you know, we might not score, we might not hit 300 up and down the lineup, but we'll get you for that long ball, that three-run home run. That's sort of what Florida's been able to do effectively. And so, you know, it's definitely a dangerous matchup. There's a lot of tense situations. Anytime Florida has runners on, you're going to have guys like Colby Shelton and Jack Caglione who have all these crazy home run numbers. Like, those are tense moments. And I think Arkansas has the pitching staff that, you know, can you know, give answers to some of those questions. But I think the difference in this series to me is Florida has a pitching staff that has a ton of strikeouts, similar to Arkansas stuff-wise. I mean, Jack Caglione has as good a stuff as anyone in the country. They haven't gotten that consistency from their pitching staff that Arkansas has week in and week out. They walk a lot of guys. Arkansas doesn't really typically walk a ton of people. So I think if I'm looking from a matchup standpoint, I think Arkansas has to take advantage of Florida's mistakes because they strike out a lot at the plate and they walk a lot of guys as a pitching staff. And that's sort of been their Achilles heel on both sides. And I think Arkansas is just a little bit more well-rounded of a team, although they're not as flashy and don't have that next level, like, obvious talent besides a guy like Hagan Smith, but they don't have up and down the lineup those guys that you circle in fear. But I think all around, I just think Arkansas is a little bit more of a well-rounded baseball team. And I think that's how they need to play in Bomb Walker Stadium. Play good defense. Don't issue a ton of walks. Take your pitches, take your walks against Florida. And I think they can position themselves to win some of those 7-4, 7-5 type of games here this weekend, if the weather holds off.
Series prediction. What are you thinking?
I think Arkansas will lose their first home game in, which I guess at this point it's 25 games. I don't know if it'll go to 26 or 27. I think they will lose one game this weekend, but I think Arkansas gets a series win. And I don't, it's not going to be dominant, but I do think fans are going to feel a little bit better about Arkansas. You know, I mean, I don't know why Arkansas fans don't feel great about their number two ranked baseball team, but I think you would agree. You talk to the same people I do that, you know, there's a lot of people that are kind of waiting for this offense to get going before they can really rest easy and think this is really a team that's about to go out there and make a real deep run. Another thing that I think, you know, I see Kevin Bitter saying, you know, Florida got swept at Missouri. Another big aspect in this series is I think Florida is playing with a lot of desperation. This is a team, what are they, 8-10 in SEC play? Like, they're, oddly enough, one bad weekend away from really being on that NCAA tournament bubble. They can't afford to, you know, fall too far behind in the standings in this league. You just don't want to do that. Obviously, they squandered a real big series against Missouri. Played pretty well these last couple weekends, but, you know, they've got an uphill battle on their hands, and so I think you're going to get their best punch. And I think Arkansas, obviously, they want to play well, but they, you know, they can afford to relax a little bit. I think they'll drop at least one game, but I think Arkansas is going to get it done. I think they're a more well-rounded baseball team.
Oddly enough, any time that Florida has won a midweek game, they've lost the series. And any time that they've lost a midweek, they have ended up winning the SEC series ahead. They beat Stetson, for what it's worth, last night. So the trend would say that they should lose this series to Arkansas. And also, talk about LSU a couple of weeks ago, whenever, you know, their hair was on fire. They really needed an SEC win, but they didn't get it, thanks to the Razorbacks. So,
and yeah, haven't recovered since, really.
Yeah, Florida's kind of right there where LSU was a few weeks ago, but LSU just really fell off. Kind of shocking. You love to see it. A couple teams that are in the SEC that are sitting there right at the top: Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Kentucky. Of course, Arkansas. We're top four. I mean, look, I've taught college baseball for a long time, and I feel like year in and year out, there's parity in maybe 8 to 12 teams. I feel like maybe 5-6 teams tops are going to be a viable, legitimate shot at winning it all. And I feel like it's got to come from the SEC with the strength in numbers there. Which one of these teams would you say, outside of Arkansas, which one has the best shot?
I don't know how you look past A&M. Like, I don't know how you get, you know, if you're looking at all those teams, they're the one that just people should have circled, man. I mean, they're number one in the country for a reason. That lineup is terrifying, man. I mean, having LaViolette and Brad Montgomery, who might be the best outfield, might be the best lineup duo in the entire country. A&M starting pitching, I think, is a step below Arkansas's, but they've been really, really good this year. They've gotten that bullpen with, is it Ashenbank?
Their starters are all getting long innings too. Like, it's
absolutely,
it's
man.
Really unfair.
They've got a lot of things going.
They're number two in team pitching, number one in team hitting. Like, it's tough.
It's tough. And I just think if you're an Arkansas fan and you're looking across the dugout and you're like, man, we've got a good team, we've got a really good pitching staff and all that, but we just don't have two bats like that in the middle of the order that really just, as a fan, as an opposing fan, you're just holding your breath while your team is pitching to them. Arkansas doesn't really have guys like that, even though they got plenty of guys you should respect and you should, you know, you can't mess around when you're facing Peyton Stovall, Vahiva Aloy, but it's just a little bit different when you have guys, big dudes like that, Braden Montgomery, who might be the first college hitter taken in the draft. Like, you know, that's just a different level. I think A&M, it's just hard to look to scoff at what they've been doing this year, man. Those dudes are playing really well.
You buying into Tennessee at all? They did get exposed a little bit last weekend and against Tennessee, but
I think Tennessee's good. I don't think they're as good as they've been the last few years, frankly. I mean, obviously the 2022 team that went on that crazy run, I think, you know, there's no shame in being a step down from that. But I just don't think Tennessee last year, I liked their arms a lot more than I do this year. And this lineup is good, but I don't think it's on par with, you know, that one from 2022 that was just, you had to fear every single guy in the entire lineup. Like, I think they're pretty well-rounded. I think Tony V's done a really good job there of kind of getting them to be on this level, even when their talent is not at the same level as it's been the last couple of years. But Tennessee's definitely a force to be reckoned with, but they don't strike the same amount of fear in me as a team like A&M does.
Yeah, obviously, I meant Kentucky. Kentucky got exposed a little bit against Tennessee, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you can make the argument Tennessee. I mean, that Sunday game was wild. Yeah, that was trying to get each other out.
Chaotic. I had a bet on Tennessee. Just kept going back and forth, and I was ready to just have the game be over with, so I didn't have to watch anymore. All right, is Mississippi?
But no, I don't. I'm not buying Kentucky. If that's what you were where you were going, yeah. I'm not buying Kentucky.
Kentucky,
respect what they're doing. Power to you. You know they're doing it. They're having a great year. Clearly a good team, but let's relax.
They play small ball, kind of like Arkansas. They rely on pitching, but you know, I think top to bottom, neither pitching staff or lineup are comparable. Tennessee is, you know, probably right there. That's one that I'm really worried about because their pitching staff, they are deep. And with guys like Billy Amick, Christian Moore, who can go yard, I mean, I feel like they're just as big of a threat as Texas A&M. Benefit is we don't have to play them this year.
Yeah.
A&M, I feel like that series is going to come down to your number one overall seed, though, at the end of the year. What do you think?
I would imagine so. I mean, probably the SEC West regular season could be everything. And it's kind of cool because, you know, whoever wins that series will come out talking a little bit, but then the postseason is going to start right then.
So yeah.
It's like, congrats, you got the series win. Now you're going to have to do it again. You know, so it's like not too much time to celebrate. Just giving Hog fans a little bit of mental gymnastics in case it doesn't go their way.
Do you want to be the number one overall seed?
Yeah.
Do you believe in the curse?
I mean, obviously it's hard to argue that it's a curse. I mean, it's been going on, but curses get broken all the time. Arkansas baseball, every single season Arkansas's played, they have not won a national title. Are we going to consider the program curse? Like, you got to go out there and play.
That's a good point.
Frankly, the reason why I think Arkansas fans should want that number one overall seed, one, it would be cool to be the team that was like, we ain't worried about no curse. We're just the best team. We're the best team all year. It is what it is. But also, get the easiest draw possible, man. You don't have to play TCU in the regional if you're the number one overall seed. They're going to send you, you know, in New Jersey Institute of Technology again if you're the number one overall seed. That's what you want. I just think you would get the easiest draw possible, get to Omaha, let your arms figure it out. But I think if Arkansas gets the right draw, I just have no – it's hard for me to imagine someone coming in there to bomb and beating them twice. And I think getting the number one overall seed would help Arkansas in that regard.
Kevin, is Mississippi State sneaky good or not? This is a team that we're going to face, what, in a week?
I think it's right before – are they before A&M, like the week before A&M?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think Mississippi State is sneaky good. I think I'm a little surprised by how they played these last, I guess it's two or three weekends. Did they just drop a series to Ole Miss? Did I make that up?
I think they won.
Did they win the series?
Mississippi State just swept somebody this past weekend.
Maybe it was the weekend before that they dropped one.
Yeah, Mississippi State swept Auburn, and then the weekend before was the weird Ole Miss, like five players got ejected, and it was weird. Dakota Jordan for Mississippi State, he's good. Their pitching staff is iffy for me.
There is iffy, but I love that Durangelo kid. I just feel like Mississippi State's pretty well-rounded. I remember watching them play LSU because I love hate watching LSU. I remember watching that series pretty closely and being pretty impressed. I mean, those bats at the top of the order, I forget that other hitter they have. Is it Hunter Hines?
Hunter Hines, yeah.
He's still – Dakota Jordan's a monster. You know, I think Mississippi State's – that's a really solid series. I don't see them winning in bomb, but I think they're good enough to save Chris Lemonis' job is how good they are.
Yeah. Matt, how do you feel about Georgia? It was a midweek against Clemson. It was a big win. It was like 15 innings. I don't know if you caught that. You may have been catching Z's. But Georgia's always one of those dangerous teams. Another team that they beat us last year when we traveled to Athens. Kind of glad we don't have to play them again. They're tough.
I saw an NCAA tournament projection that had Georgia as the 2 seed in the regional across from Arkansas to where like they could play in the Supers. That I would love. I mean, it would be obviously, you know, that's a tough matchup for anybody. They're a tough out, but that would be really cool having Wes Johnson, his first year as a head coach, coming to bomb for a super regional. However we can make that happen, NCAA tournament committee, let's do it. Have Charlie Condone in Fayetteville with the season on the line. That'd be awesome.
All right, Andrew, I appreciate it. I know you got to run. Y'all go. If you're in the Little Rock area, check out Town Pump. What's Arkansas's best dive bar?
I haven't been yet. I'm waiting. Everyone I talked to though is like, dude, you're gonna love Town Pump. I don't know if I just fit the demographic, but it sounds like it's up my alley. Sounds like the best. Curtis is there. We got boots on the ground. I just got a confirmation from our guy Scotty Bordelon, the best damn basketball reporter this side of the Mississippi. But Curtis says that the other best basketball reporter in the country said that it's the vibe is popping.
All right, we'll give your last plug. I appreciate you coming on.
I'm glad I appreciate you mentioning the Bombastic podcast earlier. I talk a lot about SEC baseball on the podcast because I just people like it, and I keep up with the SEC. I feel like it's one of the more underrated sports experiences is watching SEC baseball week in to week in. It's just pure drama, pure entertainment, high level stuff. So if you're not an Arkansas fan and you're like, oh, you know, why would I listen to this cat ramble about the Pigs? We talk a little SEC baseball over there too. If you do love Arkansas, like Grissom said, nowhere better. If you're not listening, what are you doing? So the Bombastic podcast on YouTube. Really appreciate you having me on, Matt.
Absolutely.
Look forward to seeing you. I'll be seeing you soon, but in Omaha for sure.
All right. Well, cheers, y'all. Y'all have a good weekend. Go Hogs. Go to town pump.
Appreciate it.